Welcome to Hope It's Here. Excited today. Our guest is Jen Collins. She is with Life Confetti, an outstanding blog that I've been following for a couple years. And she just shares how she's found God in both the good times and painful times. She's very real and authentic. And Jen's been dealing with cancer the past few years. And she's been a frequent guest here on Hope Is Here because she just shares how she's courageously battled this and shares her faith through the process. And Jen, I love getting your weekly email, and I love the one that you wrote recently this week. But first of all, just thanks for joining us in Pennsylvania today.
Oh, thanks for having me. It's always nice to be here.
Well, we always get great feedback when you've been a guest on Hope Is Here, and because you're just real, you're authentic, you're vulnerable, and just encourages a lot of us, because a lot of us are struggle, but we think we're the only one. And you share your life story, helps the rest of us know that we're all more normal than we think, because everybody's struggling with something, aren't they?
Absolutely. Everyone has something.
All right. Well, I want to talk today. I want you to share this article you wrote this week in your weekly email. It's also on your blog, lifeconfetti.blog, and we'll have all that contact information on our website with this podcast later today. But I loved how you started out this writing. You said, "The quarantine continues." Still hanging in there with a big question mark, and I know so many people can relate to that. So can you share that with us, please?
Sure. We have gone through our rotation of family meals made with what is available at the grocery store. My family is growing tired of eating what I cook, and I am tired of cooking. Although I am used to cooking dinner, I am not used to being a full-time short-order cook. These people want to eat all day long. On Saturday night, we ordered takeout from one of our favorite local Mexican restaurants. We stuffed our faces with burritos, fajitas, and quesadillas, and of course, tons of chips and salsa. It was fun, it was different, and it was a much-needed break for me. But please feel free to share your favorite recipes, because I need some new ones. The kids are adjusting well to online instruction. I check their grades often because they get through all those subjects pretty quickly. Seriously, a day's worth of schoolwork in a couple of hours. I salute the teachers and the administrators who work tirelessly to pull all this together, and I'm pretty proud of my kids for doing what they need to do during this crazy time. My daughter was having the best school year, and she was pretty bummed it all came to an abrupt end, thinking of all those high school seniors out there, too. Things have been pretty much the same for weeks, but one thing has gone missing, my patience. Seriously, I love my family dearly. I really do. I'm holding on to my patience as tightly as my teenage daughter clutches her iPhone, but I'm losing my grip. I pray every morning for God to help me politely explain to my people the exact location of everything in the refrigerator. Right in front of you should help, but I have found it much easier to stop what I'm doing and find it for them. It saves me a five-minute explanation. Yeah, I've always been pretty efficient. I need the good Lord to keep me from losing my ever-loving mind when I find another empty bag of chips on the back of the living room couch, or a paper plate of pizza crust sitting on the counter right above a garbage can, so overwhelmed it can't take on one more thing. There, there, garbage can. I got you. I can relate. I get overwhelmed when I finally sit down in the quiet kitchen to do some editing, and my husband decides to grab a sandwich and turn on the TV. Mike doesn't do anything halfway. That goes for the volume of the remote, too. He turns that thing all the way. I've been preaching it for years, people, but I can tell you for sure that prayer works. We all made it safely through this week, and I hope you and yours did too.
Well, I just chuckled all the way through when I read that earlier this week, and that's why I wanted to share it with people, because I think everybody can relate to something in this article from having the kids there all the time. And I think our respect for our teachers and all the people who work at the schools has gone up exponentially during this time, hasn't it?
Yes, absolutely. Togetherness is a wonderful thing until it isn't. So,
well, I love that part of the article. Then, of course, you talked about trying to get some work done. Then your husband shows up. And I mean, the fact of the matter is we've all had to just make life adjustments over the past 6 weeks, haven't we?
Right, right. I've gotten up early to find different ways to get my work done. My kids have taken over my dining room. We've kind of set that up as their, school area. my husband's, he works from home, but he travels a lot. But now, you know, the kids are here all day. So it's a big adjustment for everybody. So everybody's trying to feel their way around. And I think nothing else, this is teaching us to be more respectful of each other's needs and more aware of our different personalities. You know, we all handle this differently. So we're all kind of working together to get through it.
Well, you concluded your article that you said you've been preaching it for years, but I can tell you for sure that prayer works, and it sounds like you, like myself, and I know millions of others, our prayer life has really grown, and we've seen the importance of it during this season of COVID-19, haven't we?
Yes, absolutely. I think, you know, this has given us an opportunity to just spend some time in prayer, in reflection, drawing closer to God. There's so much uncertainty out there. Everybody's dealing with something different. And this is, you know, when are we going to have this opportunity? I mean, life pretty much slowed down or stopped for a lot of people. And if, you know, we need to make use of that time. So we need to use it the best way we can.
Well, let me ask you this, Jen, is you dealing with cancer and all and having a compromised immune system, what has this been like for you during this COVID-19 season?
Well, in a lot of ways, it's more pronounced, but as a cancer patient, a lot of the things we've been doing, I have to do all the time. Like, I always have to be aware of where my counts are, where my white cell counts are. I know that in my third week of my treatment cycle, my counts are the lowest, so that's when I have to be the most careful and be careful about being around people who are sick and not going out into crowds and just being more aware of how I feel and any symptoms that are going on. So in some ways, a lot of cancer patients are used to this. This is just on a whole other level. I think what has struck me the most is when this all started, there was just such a, I guess maybe a dismissive attitude, and no one knew what to expect. Everybody was hearing things out of different countries, but still, even when you see that on the news, you think, well, that's not going to happen here. But people were very quick to dismiss it and say things like, well, it's only the old and the sick that are going to be affected. Well, that's easy to say until you're one of those people who's old and sick. And so I was kind of struck by how quickly people dismissed that and kind of shoved that category off to the side. And it's similar to how this country sadly treats the elderly at times. And the elderly are very much affected by this as well because, you know, they've been isolated in their homes or in nursing homes from the beginning. So this is just, you know, it's hard for everybody. It's hard for those, as you know, who have a compromised immune system, but it's also hard for people who have lost their jobs, people who, you know, are financial burdens. I mean, everybody is dealing with this in different ways, and I think through it all, we have to learn empathy for everyone. Everyone's experiencing something different, but this isn't easy for anyone. But we can't just dismiss how everyone else is feeling. You know, we're all kind of in this together, and we can't lose sight of that.
It's a great word about the empathy because there are so many people dealing with it from different situations. And unfortunately, we kind of get that microscope view of just looking at how it affects us. And yet, as you just shared so well there, that it is affecting everybody. And that's why I wanted you to share from your perspective. Also, I loved in this blog post and email you sent out earlier this week, you talked about Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. And you shared about that in your devotion part of your blog post this week. Share with us a little bit about what you were trying to say there about that verse and what God's teaching you.
Sure. Did you ever come across a Bible verse or a quote and it really speaks to you? Sometimes the you know, it's the same thing pops up over and over again. And I always think that when that happens, God's trying to tap me on the shoulder and say, hey, you didn't get this the first time, so I'm going to keep telling you. And so I just got that same message over and over from my Bible study, scripture, and even a Facebook Live from a motivational speaker that I follow. They were all talking about how powerful our thoughts were, and that our perspective is clouded with everything, about everything, for our faith, our relationships, our own worth. And I've heard that all before, and I wrote about it in a blog post a while back. But when I heard it this time, I was just really convicted. And so I started paying attention to my thoughts. And why did I assume that when my husband was quiet that he was upset with me? Or why did I think that an oversight was a purposeful exclusion? Or if my friends and family didn't ask about something that was important to me, I thought they didn't care. So I did some self-reflection and realized that some of those beliefs were so deeply rooted, like from a long time ago, even from back when I was a child. And so I started to look through, I looked at everything through this filter made up of all the things that had ever happened to me, and even when they had nothing to do with what was going on right now. And I just decided that filter needed some cleaning. So that Philippians 4:8 just really struck me. So then for a few days, like if I had a negative thought, I started to dissect it until there was nothing left, and try to remove all those untruths from my perspective, make it a conscious effort to be aware of my thoughts to gain control over them. And it's made a big difference. It takes some work, but I'm going to try to keep doing that and remember who I am in Christ and my identity in Christ, and what the world says about me has nothing to do with that. So it's something, it's kind of mind over matter, and, you know, looking at things, through the way he looks at me, not the way the world looks at me.
Well, I just thought you did such a great job just helping remind us that, you know, we can choose on what we think on, and, you know, Bible, that verse Philippians 4:8 says, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. So I know somebody listening today, Philippians 4:8 may need to be your verse possibly for the rest of this week. Write that down on a post-it note and place it in places where you can see it. But Jen, can you give us an update? How's your health doing? Give us an update on how things are going with your cancer.
I have stage 4 metastatic breast cancer. I just had my scans a few months ago, and they came back. I'm stable, so that's, you know, praise the Lord, everything is going well. But unfortunately, with this going on, I had to miss my last appointment, and I have another one coming up in a couple weeks that, you know, we're going to make a decision at that time if I should go. Each month I go for blood work to check tumor marker numbers and just to make sure everything's going okay. And since I had just had scans and was stable, they felt comfortable skipping the 1 month. But we're going to have to decide. It's going to be a tough decision here in a couple weeks. So I'm hoping everything works out well, or God will just continue to protect me through this until I can get back to my tests and monitoring again.
All right. Well, Jen, we got about 45 seconds left. Could you close us in prayer today, please?
Sure. Heavenly Father, thank you for your faithfulness and for loving us in a way only you can. I lift up everyone in our country and across the world that is affected by this virus. May you protect the workers, comfort the sick and the isolated, ease the anxiety of those who lost jobs and have financial burdens. May we remember to be kind to each other. Please open our eyes to the blessings you bring, even in these dark times. May you show us how to use this time to draw closer to you and to become the people you created us to be. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Jen, thanks so much for being with us today. Always enjoy you being a guest. Look forward to reading your next blog post, and pray continued blessings on your health.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
All right, that's Jen Collins. Check out her blog, lifeconfetti.blog. That's lifeconfetti.blog. Thanks for listening today to Hope Is Here.
For all your heating and air needs, contact the professionals at Green Box Heating and Air. Locally owned for over a decade, Green Box Heating and Air wants to help you get ready now for the spring and upcoming hot summer months. To request service, call Green Box Heating and Air today at 859-279-0214. Again, that's 859-279-0214.